The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Fell to Rushing. We're going to be talking about gardening. I can put on my horticulture hat if you want to. I can't help being a horticulturist, trained in science and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I'd rather just talk gardening. If you got some things you need some horticulture expertise, I'll whip that out if we need to. But let's just talk about gardening. What's on your mind? What is bothering you? What do you want to try? What is challenging you? What are you excited about? What's going on? What do you need a second opinion about? I ain't going to try to sell you anything. We're just going to talk about gardening like we're sitting around on a porch. Hopefully a screen porch because mosquitoes are starting to come out. But for the next hour, it's just chatting about gardening. That's all it is. No pressure, no sales, nothing like that. And if I don't know something, I'm the type of person who will be glad to admit it. Hopefully a chance to learn something myself. So, again, for the next little while, it's live call-in program. Hey, we got some fun stuff coming up next week. And Java, I guess we ought to just jump in. Well, before we jump into this, let me mention this. You know, we had our drive time, and the grand prize was you get a visit from Felder.
Yeah.
You know, a landscape consultation or a garden party, whatever you want to. And the guy that won it, a guy named Spence Fletcher, I've known Spence all of his life. He's lived down the street from me in Indianola. My mother, he was one of her yard children.
Okay.
And he said, nah, Felder, I don't want you.
Somebody who, the person who won you,
He said, Felder, I know you. So he said, but he made a generous offer. He said, put it back in the pool. And I talked to the foundation folks. And what we decided to do is open up sort of a second drawing of people who have either a school garden or a community garden. And if anybody's got a school garden or a community garden in the state and you want to send us a picture of it, then we'll take those and put those in a hat, and whichever one draws, and I'll go out, because I work with community gardens literally all around the world. 5 continents I've worked with community gardens. I had one myself. And school gardens, wrote the book. So, you know, kicking around ideas about how to get children involved in gardening and all the stuff involved, not just planting stuff, you know, like we're putting them back on the farm or anything, but really enjoy the outdoors. So children's gardens or community gardens. If you've got one, want to send us an email with a picture of it, then we're going to have a drawing to have a chance for, at your convenience, whenever you feel like it, come over and chat with you about ways you can get the most out of it and also have a little bit more fun. So anyway, thank you, Spence Fletcher.
And yeah, that's really cool. Hopefully we can find a good one that you can show up and help out at.
He's a great guy too, and he called my mother Ma. All the kids and they would call her Ma. She helped them build a treehouse in a Magnolia Street down the alley. This up in Indianola. Java not making this up. My mother was in her 60s, and she climbed up in that treehouse in a Magnolia Tree and make Spence and other little guys run up the alley to her house and bring her back cigarettes and beer.
Amazing woman.
That's the way I was raised, man. So anyway, for the next little while, we're going to be talking about gardening. I do want to mention this, though. Java and I are going to be on the road for the next 3 or 4 or 5 broadcasts, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to start next Friday up until May 14th, going around Mississippi. Yeah,
we could be top to bottom, side to side. We got details about that, and it's going to start next Thursday. I'm doing a program in Laurel at noon at the Lauren Art Museum. It's a free. All of these programs are free. I'm going to be doing a thing from 12 to 1 in Laurel on the Thursday the 15th. Out on the lawn, it's going to be socially distanced. The weather's bad, we'll move in, but it's going to be out on the lawn. It's the third Thursday art thing. And we have a lot of fun. I'm going to be in my truck with all the stuff growing in it. That's Laurel next Thursday at noon. And then at 5:30, we're going to do a plant swap and a talk and bring in some of my new books about independent gardeners at the the Chain Park in Hattiesburg. Had a wonderful plant swap there last year. Just terrific turnout. Chain Park is along the Leaf River. It's real easy to get to. Got a nice pavilion, great park. It's a wonderful place. I'm going to pull my truck up, and we're going to talk about gardening and plant swap. So that's at 5:30 in Hattiesburg next Thursday. And then we're broadcasting, is it Pascagoula Friday morning?
Yeah, at the Pascagoula Beach Park South Pavilion.
And you're going to be there. We're going to be there. Be in my truck.
I'm going to be there.
between you know, Java, you
I'm coming
and my,
out of my hidey hole.
People, you know, people like you in my truck more than like me.
So, come on now,
so we're going to have some fun. Anyway, had fun last week in Meridian. But this is MPB taking it out on the road, taking it out to the folks. You know, we do it every week, Monday through Friday, live. But we're going to be physically on the road. If you want details about it, we've got it listed on the – as soon as you open the page of mpbonline.org. mpbonline.org. It's right there. They even got a caricature of me holding a little truck. So anyway, more details about that later. But let's start out doing what we do best here. Let's start talking about gardening. And we're going to jump right down to the Gulf Coast of Biloxi. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
So I have this cypress tree. And I've been living at my house about 45 years, and there were two trees, a bigger one about 14 inches at the base, and then a little baby one. And over time, the big one has not grown, but the little one has.
Yeah.
And they're so beautiful. But in the last couple of years, knees have started popping up all over the yard, all over my neighbor's yard, just everywhere. Is there anything I can do about this?
Other than cutting them off with a reciprocating saw or mowing over them, there's no way to keep it from happening. They send those knees up. It's just part of the nature of the beast. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, depending on the type of soil. But once they start that, other than cutting them off, about all you can do is get a little neighborhood group up and knit little knitted hats to put on them or something, because there ain't squat you can do about keeping them from coming up.
They're kind of bad on a lawnmower.
Oh, I know. I was raised with cypress trees, and it's one of my top five native trees. It's even popular in Japan. They use our cypress trees to represent mountains in their botanic gardens. But when those knees start coming up, it's just the nature of the beast.
So after 40 years of no knees, or knees right at the base, they just decided they wanted to move around.
Hey, it took about that long for me to start growing white hair out of the rim of my ears. That's just part of it. Nothing you can do about it except just pluck them or braid them.
I was thinking about digging a big trench around it and putting a barrier, an enclosure.
Yeah, you could do that. You know, just cut straight down. You know, go out. It'd be easier if you rent one of these power ditch digger type things, you know, for a couple of hours and do it, because this could be hard cutting through those roots.
Right. So that might.
Yeah, contain them.
Some relief.
Yeah, go down 6 or 8 inches, and then just get you some metal flashing or something put down in it. That'll help. Oh, for that matter, you know, if you just cut down straight down, you don't even have to put a rim. The ones from the cut outward are going to die. You could just, you know, they're not going to keep growing. So if you just cut, you know, then that's as far as those roots will grow. You might have to recut it every 3 or 4 years, but you already got the ditch going.
Okay. Well, that won't be too many more years anyway.
Okay. Good luck. And sorry about your neighbors, you know, but the knit hat thing, a little knit caps for them, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. I like that.
Good luck on you.
Thanks
hey,
a lot.
Hey, we're going to be broadcasting from Pascagoula and also from, I forgot the other place, Java, on the coast. We're doing two things on the coast. Long Beach, Pascagoula, Long Beach. We'll be doing live broadcasts from there over the next few weeks. So bring one of those knees out.
Okay, sounds great.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, now down to up and over to Corinth. Mike, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Yes, I had a question. We have a south-facing patio, concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Two small pots on either side of the door. Would whey petunias survive in that hot sun on the south side, or what else could you recommend?
It's possible. Whey petunias are the only ones that will really tolerate our summer times. You know, petunias are over winter for us, or over summer for, in cooler climates. Whey will take a lot of heat. It'll take up, but I'm not sure about the hot radiated heat off the concrete. I'm just not sure. And they're pretty sprawly plants. You know, might want to give it a try, but you know, there's a you set on a particular color, a plant.
Not necessarily.
Well, there's a spreading type of lantana called New Gold lantana. It's a sprawly plant, sort of like a whey petunia, and the hotter it gets, the better it blooms. But lantana is a good choice. And then, you know, kind of a spready type of a sprawly type of thing, but you could put a spiky plant in it like Angelonia or, you know, any of these old-fashioned summer things. You know, put a spiky thing in the middle, but the lantana will love the heat. And you can trim it.
Yeah, New Gold lantana.
Yeah. It's a pretty widely available type of lantana. There's some lantanas that make big bushes, but this is a kind of a spready thing. It grows really well in a small container. And then one other thing I can mention, because I grow stuff in the back of my pickup truck, which is it's a box of dirt in the back of a pickup truck out in the street, and I don't water anything. There's a type of zinnia. It's a group of them called Profusion. Profusion zinnia is a little small, compact, maybe about the size of a basketball, I guess. They love hot weather. But there is a special type of a zinnia called Profusion. They come in different colors.
Profusion zinnia, okay.
Yep.
Probably also portulaca.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of short.
That's a good one, as long as the sun is shining. When the sun's there, they open their flowers. In the evening, when you're likely to be out there on the patio, they close up.
Okay. New Gold, lantana, profusion, zinnia.
Yeah. Those are pretty widely available plants, and they really like a lot of hot conditions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You know, I should have said plant some basil out there or some rosemary or something you could eat or smell or something like that. Anyway, let's go down to Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Angela, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Appreciate you being part. Hey, I'm going to be in Mobile tomorrow morning. You know where Central Pres Church is?
Central Presbyterian?
Yeah.
No, but I'll find it.
They have a plant swap there. It's a free thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Weird people and weird plants. You know, people. You know, it's not a dress up thing. It's a free thing. It's going to start at 10:00. I'm going to be down there myself at 10:00 at Central Pres Church tomorrow morning.
I will definitely come out and see you. I love your show.
Appreciate it. Well, what can help? Oh, and bring a plant if you want to swap. If not, they've always got plenty left over. They got lots and lots of plants, so don't feel obligated to bring something.
Sure, I will. I have a few sproutlings that I brought from Arizona, some variegated cactus.
I want one. Okay. Put one of those aside for me. Put one of those aside for me.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Come on, Angela.
I sure will.
Okay. Well, what can I help
you
with?
Well, this question is kind of gardening, sort of. Every year, I've been in Mobile for like 2 years now. This time of year, we get like swarms of these they're grasshoppers. I always call them crickets.
Yeah.
And when they're little, they're like black with red spots, and then they get to be huge. They're like,
and they get that red or
long.
They got a yellow,
yes,
red or yellow stripe down their,
yes,
back. Yeah.
Yes.
Those are called lubbers. I don't know why.
Lubbers?
Yeah, I don't know why. 2Bs, lubbers. And there's not much you could do to them, man. The best control, other than taking your glasses off and ignoring them, is a terrible thing. Let's take a pair of scissors to them. I just hate saying that because they're life forms, and the Star Trek people are going to come after me for saying that. But
they eat up everything.
I know, but the problem is, and you can control them when they're small. You know, there's some mild insecticides. You've heard of seven dust or liquid seven.
Mm-hmm.
You can even put that on most vegetables. I wouldn't put them on your leafy greens, but you could. And when they eat it, it poisons them that way. It's not a contact thing, but it only works on them when they're really small. The bigger ones, there is a spray. It's a natural spray called pyrethrin. It's made from chrysanthemum flowers, and it sounds
pyrethrum?
Weird. Yeah, it sounds
made from
weird.
Chrysanthemums.
Yeah, And well, they've concentrated and all like that, but it works really, really well on big insects. I wouldn't spray it in the middle of the day though, because if there's any bees or butterflies, it'll get them too. So do it late in the evening, you know, after the bees and butterflies gone, and it works overnight like a charm. And it's natural.
Have bees.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, because they're like a real pain. And when they're little, I use vinegar and dish detergent, and that kind of helped.
Yeah.
But then when they get big, I tried neem oil.
I know. I'm with you. Been there, done that. And, and you can't even thump them. They're too big to thump.
Yeah, and they're not afraid of people either. It's like, they don't try to run or anything.
No, that's Jiminy Cricket's crazy uncles out there.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, thank you so much, sir, and I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll bring that variegated agave.
Okay, and before we go, what part of Arizona did you move from?
Tucson, Arizona, and I brought back several cactus specimens with me.
Tucson has got the coolest little botanic garden. I've been there several times.
They
coolest
do.
Little
it's
botanic
really
garden.
Cool.
Hey, did you ever get down to Tombstone?
Yes, I've been to the Old West. Yes.
They've got the world's largest rose in Tombstone, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. We saw that. It was pretty awesome.
Big old Lady Banks rose.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And in Tucson, they also have a rose garden with, think, like 200 types of roses.
Yep. Cool town. And you left that for the humidity is so thick you can lick it in Mobile.
I love it. I'm from Fort Walton originally, so it's awesome. So,
okay, well, listen, look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Angela.
Thank you. God bless.
See
Bye.
Ya. Yeah, Central Presbyterian Church, the parking lot down St. Anne and Dolphin. I can't remember the street. Central Presbyterian Church. And I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock. They got a wonderful plant swap. They've had it for years and years and years. A lot of fun, real laid back, really, really easy to do. We're going to take a break. Got a fella on the line from Jackson. I'm going to talk with him. But if you've got some things that's on your mind, want to talk about gardening, I feel a little chatty this morning. So if you ain't got time, just tell me, cut to the chase, Felder, and we'll do that. So anyway, Job and I are going to be on the road, MPB, for the next 3 or 4 weeks. We're taking it all over the state for free presentations and free live broadcasts and plant swaps, whatever you want to do. And if you want information about that, go to mpbonline.org and boom, they got a caricature of me in the studio, and you can take it from there. Look forward to seeing some of y'all. We're going to take a real quick break here at MPB. Come right back with more of the Gestalt Gardener right after this.
If you're a sustaining member of MPB Think Radio, we appreciate your support of our programs. To become a sustainer, go to mpbonline.org.
I'm Allison Walker, the Lady Auto Mechanic, host of AutoCorrect. If you're enjoying this podcast, try my podcast, AutoCorrect. We help steer you in the right direction with your car problems. Find me on any podcast platform or at autocorrect.mpbonline.org.
Almost cut my hair. Getting kind of long. Could have said it wasn't in my way, but I didn't, and I wonder why. I feel like letting my freak flag fly. Yes,
right. I don't know why I almost cut my. No, I didn't. You know, somebody job, they asked me the other day, why do you grow your hair long, Felder? You know, well, first of all, I sat on aircraft carrier during Vietnam, okay? Enough said. I said, why do you grow your hair long? I'm thinking, it's a real important distinction. It's subtle, but it's important. I'm not growing long hair. I'm simply not cutting what grows. And there's a big attitude difference. You know, I'm going to flow instead of being a rebel or something. It ain't no freak flag. Anyway, let's go to Jackson and talk with Jim. Jim, you've been hanging on, man. I really appreciate it. How you doing?
Good morning, Felder. I was very pleased to see that your book is in the top 10 in Sunday's paper in terms of sales. And I know you're a modest fellow, but where could someone like me buy one of those books?
Man, you could get it at if you're in Jackson, Lemuria. They got some signed copies. But any place in the state, you know, the independent bookstores, or you know, just get it online. But I had to go back and sign a second batch of those at Lemuria and Jackson.
Well, we're very pleased that you went with University Press, and I'm pleased it's doing so well.
I am too. They did my first book, and then they did this one because it's all about gardening in the South, but real gardening. So anyway, appreciate it, guy.
Is it too early to buy them for Christmas presents?
No. It's just a Christmas long way. Just get it for now and just read it, you know, and then if you get tear some pages out, staple them to your wall.
Well, I'll read it. I won't tear any pages out, and I'll give it as a gift at Christmas.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much, man.
Best to you on the road, Felder.
Thank you. Jim Rosenblatt, he helps, he does a lot of community stuff. He helps with the cemetery roses and things like that. But anyway, let's slide down the Gulf Coast and talk to Larry. What's up, man? Larry.
Good morning.
Howdy. Caught you by surprise, didn't I?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, I have got a couple of sago palms that have the white scale on them.
Oh, boy, that's tough.
And, yeah, I know. I've YouTubed several different things, and of course, there's this miracle stuff. If you're a horticulturist and and you have a nursery that's like $300 or $400 per container and makes 50 gallons, well, I've got two sagos. It's not worth it. But
yeah.
Another thing I saw was to do the spray it with the all seasons, and then do the bare tree and shrub protect and feed, and pour around the base for. Systemic to get into the plant, and it's not working.
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Sago and palms, I don't know how they absorb. I don't know if these systemics work as well on palms as they do on regular plants, because they don't have the typical vascular system like trees and shrubs do. So I don't know. It's a really good question. And a matter of fact, I'm most likely to turn to my friend Gary Bachman, who lives down on the coast, to see what he thinks. I just don't know if systemics work well on palms, if they work that way or not. But they're the only reliable control for scale on other insects. The other thing is, did you get much damage on them for the winter? Did they turn brown?
No, they didn't. They actually turned brown after the winter, and I cut off the bottom fronds, but now it's got a whole new crown of beautiful, fronds coming out, and they're turning brown, too. And, I'm thinking about my tow rope up to the back of my truck and pulling it out of the ground.
Well, it's real frustrating, and there are some controls for scale. I don't deal with palms that much. The only ones, I've got this white scale all on, I've got a palmetto. A palm, it's got them on there. And what I do is I just pretty much ignore it as best I can. But I know that on the palmetto palms, you know, because they have that real strong woody stem, you can spray them with what's called a summer oil. They got dormant oil and summer oil, which isn't quite as heavy, not likely to deep fat fry your plants. I don't know if you can put it on the foliage of sagos without burning them, though. But on my palmetto, sometimes I just hit it with some dormant oil, some summer oil, and that covers them up and smothers them and does a pretty good job, usually for the year. But
is that the same thing as the all season spray oil?
Yeah, if it's an oil, that's right. If you say all season, I don't know what that was. If it's an oil, you just if you don't get a chance to, I will look at just Google it, see can you use oils, horticultural oils on sagos or on palms. Just Google
I sprayed every one of the fronds. I even lifted them up and.
Yeah,
sprayed underside of them with a Hudson sprayer with the oil, and then somebody else had used Dawn.
Now here's the thing: you can kill scale, and they're still there. There's doorknob, but they're still there. They can't just let go and fall off. So you can, what we're doing with the oils is covering up the old ones to kind of suffocates them, but also covers up the new crawlers as they get out on the new growth. And so the oil doesn't poison them. It covers them up and smothers them. But, again, I just don't know how horticultural oil works on palms in the south in the sun and humidity. I just don't know. But between that and the systemics, those are the only two controls.
It's not working too well on mine, so I'll give you that heads up.
Okay. Well, again, it might have worked, and the old scale is still there. Could be.
So it continues to turn more and more brown. Is it going to recover from that, or?
No, the fronds are turning brown. That was last year's. They lose last year's fronds after they put on new ones, or sometimes in case of cold weather something before the new ones. And so most of the time people just cut the old ones off and let the new ones come out nice and clean.
The new ones are started out nice and clean, and now they're coming out brown too.
Huh. Have you ever heard of Gary Bachman, Dr. Gary Bachman?
No, I can't say that I have.
He's the extension horticulturist. He's there at Pops Ferry.
Okay.
And he is the state's top home garden expert.
Pops Ferry what?
Pops Ferry Road. Anyway, he's with the extension service.
Oh, the extension service with Mississippi State.
Right, right. Well, he is Mississippi State. And he knows, he's right there on the coast. He would know more about it than I do. I'm just guessing at this point.
Okay, so that's Dr. Bachman, you said?
Yeah, yeah, they all know him. Well, I'll talk to the yard and garden guy.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Good luck on it, man. Appreciate it. You know, I worked at a garden center down in Corpus Christi, Texas, been around Paul's all my life, but, you know, they've got some weird problems, and I just don't know if you can use regular insecticide. I just don't know, so I have to look that one up. So, anyway, let's go to Maven and talk with Ruth. Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is I have been pulling up a ton of little oak seedlings in a mulched area under a big oak tree.
Yeah, me too.
I'm wondering if most of them come up by the roots because I go up out after rain, but some of them break off. So yeah. Do I need to be more careful to get the whole root, or will the ones that break off die?
Well, you know, and I have the same problem. Sometimes I miss them. They come up in shrubs, and they're a year old, and I can't pull them up. You know, there's not enough back medicine, you know, for me. I can't even pry them up. So I just cut them off real close, and sometimes they sprout back out. But if you cut them off a second time, usually they peter out. But if you can get them while they're still small, put on a pair of gloves and grab them at the – and also it helps to get a pry bar, like a big screwdriver or something like that, when you reach in and you pull and pry them out at the same time. That works real quick without pulling your back.
Okay, well, I can do that. My other question is, I had been out of state for several years, and while I was gone, the wisteria has taken over some pine trees.
Uh-huh.
And the wisteria is as big around as my bicep.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably 4 inches across.
I get it, yeah.
I need to know, people are telling me that Roundup, even the heavy Roundup, won't kill them. I'm wondering if I cut them off down close to the bottom and then spray Roundup on the cut place, will that kill them?
It can. So cut them off, but spray it immediately. Cut and spray, and then move on to the next one, cut and spray. But you got to get it, you know, when you scratch the bark of a plant, it's bright green right under the bark. But not in the middle of the stem. Well, it's the bright green stuff where Roundup and other stuff is moved. So cut it and just spray around. You know, get it on that right around the edge of the cut. You can also cut it off, and this works with poison ivy and other things too. Cut it off. Let it sprout back out when it gets 3 or 4 feet or so. You know, some decent growth on it. Spray it on the leaves of those. Roundup is only absorbed into green tissue, whether it's that little green stuff under the bark or green foliage, and it's absorbed into green and moves down the plant, kills the roots, and then the top dies. So in the case of stuff like poison ivy, if you just cut it off and wisteria other thing, let it sprout back out. And a day or so after good rain, when it's growing really good, just wet the foliage. Not going to hurt your tree trunks or the roots or bark or anything like that. Only green foliage, and that'll work.
Well, thank you so much. That's wonderful. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, appreciate it. Hey, welcome back, Ruth.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, and before we go to our little cheesy music, let's go back to Jackson and talk with Jane. Hey, Jane, thank you for holding.
Hi, Felder.
What's up?
This is Steve's wife. Mm. You know, he's always bothering you.
Yeah, listen, yeah. He get this stuff out front, right?
Right.
I didn't walk by there this morning. He told me to look at my yard when you walk into town.
Right.
So I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I have a comment for the lover lady, because we had bad lovers in Athens. So what I came up with, she needs to get a wet, dry shop vac. And I'm going to sound
thunk.
Weird, but
shop thump,
back
them. Thump, thump, thump.
Yeah. Yeah, you just shop back them up, and then you take the lid off, pour some soap in there, like dish soap, and fill it with water and close the lid.
Or just take them out into the street and shake them out in the bushes.
Right.
I mean, what, it's like being sucked up by a spaceship, you know. Can you imagine? Thump, thump, thump. Help me just, take them down the end of the street, dump them out in the bushes. You don't have to kill them.
Well, I worked for the plant pathology at the Extension Service, and there was a bug lady there, and she said that they actually have something like that in big crops. They suck them up.
Yeah.
So I invented that, apparently.
The shop back lady. Oh, you have to take that little attachment off the end, because they're not going to fit through any kind of attachment.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Anyway, tell Steve I'll swing by and take a look at his yard.
Thank you, I will.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate the tip.
Yeah.
Oh, Java. Now, Steve's a neighbor of mine. He said, if you walk by this morning, take a look at my yard, because they boogered it up, put some dirt or something like that out there.
Now, what is a lover? We're going to have to go back to the lovers.
It's a big grasshopper. Big. They're black, and they got a bright yellow or bright red stripe all the way down there. And they're bigger than, they're big as my finger.
Wow.
They're big, big grasshoppers. Sort of like locusts.
Okay.
And, you can't thump them. It'll take your fingernail off. But anyway, she got a good tip. Shop back. And dump them out or whatever. Anyway, horticulture's failed to rush, and me and Java and all the folks here at MPB, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Come right back with more phone calls, this live program. Go to mpbonline.org and see when we're going to be in your town. We are going all over the state. 12 or 13 appearances over the next several weeks. And they're free. They're fun. Bring a plant. We'll swap. But meanwhile, sit back, relax. We're going to do a little theremin music. And then we're going to come back with your calls right here on MPB. All righty, folks, welcome back. Hope you enjoy that little theremin music. It reminds me of One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. Just calm down, calm down. But we're going to be talking about gardening every Friday and rebroadcast on Saturdays. But during the week, Monday through Friday, we have 15 locally produced programs on topics of interest to everybody. Somebody is interested in something.
Now, Felder, I'm gonna be truthful now.
What?
On the table, it looks like you have a salad, but you don't have a bowl.
I don't.
Oh, it looks like just like a salad on the table that's ready to eat, but you don't have a bowl.
It is. You know, you give me a squirt bottle of vinaigrette, I'm ready to go. I don't think Michelle McAdoo would appreciate it if I got salad dressing all over the studio here. But I brought in some stuff. I like to bring in a native plant, an heirloom plant, and an edible plant every week. And this week I brought a collection because it's starting to get kind of late for leafy greens, but I've got three different colors, Swiss chard, bright pink, bright yellow, bright red Swiss chard. I've got the purple kale. I've got the blue kale, which is just blue as it can be. I've got four kinds of lettuces, and I've got some little Johnny Jumbo, little viola flowers. And it's a pretty little thing. You know, sprinkle some croutons and a little Italian dressing on there, and we are ready to go. So that's my edible of the week. It's not too late to plant lettuce, but it's getting late. If you want to plant one more crop, mixed lettuce, we have plenty of time for it to harvest before it gets hot and before the lettuce turns bitter. The native plant, I want to talk about this before we go to the calls real quick. This is a plant that's called, it looks like a pom-pom, you know, like a cheerleaders, you know, big old shaky pom pom. This is a native tree, and it's called American fringe tree because it looks like fringe. But the common name is Grandpa Graybeard or Grancy Graybeard.
I've heard that before.
Grancy Graybeard. It is more stunning than dogwoods, and it blooms after dogwoods. A lot of people don't plant it because it doesn't look like much in a pot. It doesn't have a sexy name like dogwood. But Grancy Graybeard is a very dependable sun or shade native plant. Won't fail to bloom. And it's tough as beautiful. When everybody else says dogwoods, you say, yeah, yeah, we're going to ride around and look at your dogwoods. But I got a Grancy Graybeard in my yard. Kind of cool. And then the heirloom plant is I brought in one of the ugliest roses on earth. We're talking about America's floral emblem here. But this doesn't look like much. It looks like it's been twisted and eaten by insects, a twisted little greeny, yellow-looking thing. This is the ancient antique green rose. Got green buds and green rose. Looks like a little zinnia with spider mites. But I grow the ancient green room, which in the 1800s was described as an engaging monstrosity. Gotta love it, though. You know, if I don't grow it, who's going to grow it? Because it ain't pretty. That's okay. Hey, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We're going to slide over to Meridian, where I was last week broadcasting live. What's up, William?
Yes, sir. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got wild bamboo growing in my backyard, and
oh,
I need to get rid of it.
Oh, boy. Good luck. What have you tried? Have you tried anything yet?
Yes, my chainsaw.
Didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't.
Here's the deal. They got runners. You know, they got roots, and they got runners that are a lot of times are underground. And they're made out of the same stuff as the stuff that comes. They're made out of fishing pole. Okay, yeah. And takes a chainsaw, but all you could do really is where you can leave it between where you don't want it, where it is, just cut straight down 2 or 3 inches is all it takes, because those rhizomes are usually 2 or 3 inches deep at the most, and cut straight down, and everything on your side you can either pull up or spray, and it won't come back. In other words, put a trench between you and where it's coming from, and then stuff on your side. If you pull it up, it's hard, but if you do it one time, then a little bit will come back, and it's easy to pull up that second time. So one hard pulling and one not so bad before it gets hard again, if that makes sense.
Well, they've gotten to be about 3-4 inches in diameter.
Oh, I know. It's going to take a chainsaw. But you know, once you cut those down, it's got stuff coming up out in your yard. Those things can come up 15 feet from where you see it. And
okay.
And it's always just like these little roots run out like torpedoes out from the thing. So you got to stop. You got to cut down. And then on your side of the cut, either spray or dig them up. You can cut them down. The stuff you cut down, it won't come back. But new stuff will come up. So here's something you can try, William. You've heard of Roundup, right?
Yes.
Okay, Roundup will work. It'll kill any grass or anything else that's green to get it on. But if you'll cut down all the big stuff and then cut your little ditch so it can't come back, when the new stuff sprouts up, when it gets about knee-high or maybe waist-high, you can either spray it with Roundup, or there's a material that only kills true grasses. All the gardens, it's a grass killer. It only kills grass. But you got to put it on the new growth when it's somewhere between knee-high and chest-high, when it's starting to send stuff back down the roots. So cut it down, make a little ditch between where you want it to stop, and then when the new stuff comes up on your side, knee high, waist high, either brush it or squirt it with some Roundup or this grass killer. That's the only thing we can do.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Good luck on it, man. And don't sit still long because it'll come up quick.
All right, thank you.
You bet, William. Thank you. Had a good time last week at the Max in Meridian, and I did make a faux pas. You know, I interviewed the gal from the head of marketing from Van's Iverson Brothers Nursery, the country's largest importer of bulbs, including millions of tulips. And I appreciate that. And a lot of people love their tulips. They love them. But before I interviewed, I said, I think tulips are stupid. And I'm thinking, oops, I should. What I meant to say, and nobody said anything to me about it. I'm not in trouble with the Van Zuyveren Pro. What I meant was they're one-shot deals. Plant them because you love them, but don't expect them to come back. But they have daffodils and other stuff, too. But anyway, tulips are great, but they're one-shot. And I appreciate the Van Zuyveren's giving us the opportunity to have beauty in our gardens. Let's go up to Tupelo now. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, Felder. I heard the lady talking about using the wet dry shop vac.
Yeah.
And I was just doing the same thing with June bugs.
Oh,
we've got a ton of June bugs that have just they're coming at my patio.
How do they get,
patio door?
How do they get in
the
house? How do they get in the house? My little cabin doesn't have roaches or spiders or anything, but I wake up in the morning, I got the little June bugs on their backs, waving their little feet at me.
Well, I found that they're crawling in between the two panes of the sliding glass patio door is one place.
Little bulldozers.
Yeah, so I left the light on and got them all up on the side of the house. Just they were attracted to it, and then I went and got my shop vac and vacuumed up all of them that I could get, and then I turned on another light further away from the house to attract them away. But I didn't know if there was something that we could do. We're kind of surrounded by fields.
There's not much you can do. You know, they're the adults of the grub worms, the little grub worms you find when you're digging around the yard. That's the larvae of them.
Chicken chokers.
Yeah, that's what they are. And there's really not a practical. I see all sorts of stuff recommended, but nothing practical really works. And the sprays you use, it would take a lot of spray to kill a big grasshopper or a beetle. So I think the best thing is sweep them, ignore them best you can, turn the light off, get the shop back out. Not much else.
All right.
And I throw them out in the yard, and, you know, they land on the back, and I feel real bad for them because the birds just, birds love them.
Well, hopefully we just got some chickens, and once we start getting them free-range, maybe they'll eat up the grubs and
The grubs are fairly shallow, and grubs eat grass roots, so they could be a problem. But there's not a practical control for them. It won't kill earthworms, too. So, you know, luckily, gotcha. They're not all the season. They come out in a big force, usually in April, May, June, and so we have our worst infestation just in the spring, usually.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good luck.
I
want to know that you got the shop. What'd you do with your shop back full of June bugs or May beetles? What'd you do with them?
Right now, it's still full. We've we've considered feeding them to the chickens.
Well, chickens would like them. They're not poison or anything like that. But, that's got to be a creepy feeling to be in a dark bag full of other June bugs.
Yep.
Good luck on it, man. Throw them out on the pond. Right. The fish will like them, too.
Hey, that's a good idea. We've got a pond right out back.
There you go. Have fun with it.
Great idea.
See ya.
All right. Thank you.
Java, I got to tell you, man, this is getting gruesome.
Yeah, but it's just, I totally understand because last night, I believe it was a wasp got in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't want to get the fly swatter out. I trapped it.
And let it loose.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It's a karma thing.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, in the case of June bugs, there's so many of them, they are naturally out there as bird food.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when they get in, they're just trying to get away from the birds. We're just putting them back out and, you know, over the millions of years, they'll develop big teeth and they'll teach the bird something. But meanwhile, throw them out, shop back. Let's go to Jackson, talk with Jason. Jason, thank you for holding. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Felder? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been meaning to call you about this. I'm a woodworker, and I bought some Camellia japonica oil. good for kind of preserving your metal tools, but yeah. also good for skin and actually finishing wood. And it's a wonderful oil.
You make tea and out of it, too.
Now, this is the Camellia japonica.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, not the sinensis. Okay, yeah, keep going.
Because they do have the Camellia sinensis pure
right.
oil,
right.
Which I haven't bought. But the japonica, it's also called sabuki oil, I believe, is the Japanese name. But my question was, how do they extract the oil from which part of the plant? And then how do they do that? Because this is a cold pressed oil. And then I was wondering also, because they're ubiquitous around Mississippi, the Camellia japonica, does anyone process them in the region?
That's a real good question, and I don't know. I would imagine that it comes from the leaves, because the
is
leaves
that right?
I would imagine, because it's got a little oil in it. I don't think
right.
it comes from the flowers. You'd take a lot of flowers to cold press that, but I would imagine it's from the leaves rather than the stems. But I don't know. It's a great question. All these 39 years of radio, I've never been asked that. It's a good question. Don't know.
Okay. Listen, I didn't know if it was the buds or the, you know, before the flower, because that's kind of oily, but anyways.
Don't know.
So something to think about. I'll do some more research.
Something for you and me both. Let's Google it and see who comes up with the funkiest answer.
That's right. And then another oil that I've used, which I really like, and that's also regional, is tung oil, pure tung oil.
Yeah.
And that comes from the nut, I believe, of the tung tree.
Yeah, which we used to have tung oil plantation on the coast, and it got wiped out by a hurricane and spread them. They're all up and down. Sometimes you see them in central Mississippi, but when you get in our Hattiesburg South, they're all along the roadside. Beautiful flowers and big leaves.
Okay.
But tung oil tree is considered a little invasive, but it's not what I call a habitat buster. But it's an easy to grow tree.
Could you harvest your own oil from that somehow?
Or
comes from the nut. I guess someone had told me you could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great oil.
We had, it was one of our agriculture industries here for a long time.
Okay. Well, interesting. All right. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck. Hey, by the way, that was a question I've never heard before, but it's not the weirdest question. Every year I kind of keep track of the weirdest questions, and they're always good questions, because the person asking just doesn't know. But I've already got the best one for this year, and I hope somebody tries to top it. Somebody asked me the other day, where do you get seeds for pecans? And I'm thinking, a pecan is a seed. And I said that.
That's
she said, no, Mr. Rushing, you're wrong. Pecan is a nut. I'm thinking, okay, we're done with this. Because it was a good question, you know. They just didn't know.
All right.
Anyway, we'll find out about the Camellia stuff.
All right.
Good luck, guy.
I appreciate it.
You bet,
right,
Jason.
Thank you.
Okay, now I slide down to Mobile and talk with Gene. Gene, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, when you coming to Mobile?
Well, we got a plant swap at 10 o'clock in the morning, Central Prez parking lot.
That's what I was thinking.
You going to be there?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I got my hair about as long as yours. So when they told me not to cut my hair in March of last year, I didn't cut it no more.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I'm not growing long hair. I've just not cut what I got.
That's right.
I'm starting to look like Ben Franklin with the thin on top and bifocals and long hair. But he's on a $100 bill, so what the heck?
Well, they tell me I look like Einstein, but I don't act like it.
Where do they say you start looking like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young type of folks?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Anyway.
Well, I call you about table grapes. So what kind of fertilizer would be good for that?
Any kind of all-purpose fertilizer. We don't want to put too much nitrogen on them because, you know, just one with the numbers about the same. Any kind, you know, there's nothing special about the kind of fertilizer for grapes versus roses versus, you know, anything else. The main thing is spread it all out away from the trunk because the roots are way out there. And don't put
8-8 or something like that.
I would prefer not to use agriculture fertilizers because the nitrogen that's in 888 or 333, the type of nitrogen is called ammonium nitrate. It's real strong, it's real fast, and then it's gone. It's sort of like plant version of cocaine or something. To me, it's better to use something with a longer, slower type of nitrogen, which, you know, do you have a lot of these grapes?
No, I'm trying to help my sister-in-law out here. Her husband died. She don't know what to put on them. I don't know either.
And just get any kind of tree and shrub fertilizer. And just
what about the cottonseed meal?
Cottonseed meal will be fine. You know, it's a good natural source of nitrogen, nice and slow. But the main thing is the agriculture, the ammonium nitrate is really tough and short. So I think it'd be better to go with something that they sell for trees and shrubs or flowers or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll see if I can't get some cottonseed meal.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, probably.
I hope so. See you, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. Whew. We're rocking and rolling here for a while. I got stumped on some stuff, which I appreciate. I'm going to look up where to get the camellia oil from camellias. I already know what the seed of pecan is. It's a pecan. Yeah, it's a nut, but an acorn is where whatever. My tree of the week, my native tree, is Grancy Graybeard, Grandpa Graybeard, American Fringe Tree. It is a stunning plant, and I know that it's available for sale. It's just not popular in garden centers because it doesn't look like much in a pot, and nobody knows what the name is. But if you like this plant, it's a terrific native. Better than dogwoods, because dogwoods are a dime a dozen and they're hard to grow. Look at somebody else's dogwood and try one of these. Also, leafy greens, you want to still plant some lettuces and stuff, still got time. And then last thing I want to mention, if you fertilize your grass, this is the month to do it. April is the time, not February, not March, April is the time to fertilize your grass. Use a good quality lawn food. Make the bag go further than it says it'll go, and do it at least every 3 or 4 years, maybe once a year if you want to. But if you're pushing it beyond that, you need to get some Wellbutrin and calm down. Okay, grass doesn't need to be fertilized every year to be reasonable quality. But it does need fertilizer every now and then, so you know, just do it. I'm horticulturist Phil Rushing. Java, Chapman, Kevin Farrell, all the other folks here at MPB. We're looking forward to seeing you on the road. I'm going to be in Laurel at the Art Museum at noon next Thursday. Chain Park in Hattiesburg at 5:30 next Thursday. We're broadcasting live from Pascagoula, and we're doing something Saturday. I forget. Somewhere on the coast on Saturday. Huh, I can't remember. I tell you what, don't have to remember. Just remember Mississippi Public Broadcasting, MPBOnline.org, right there. It's got a caricature of me, and it says where we're going to be, when, me and Java and all the other good folks here. If you have a chance, the garden centers are scrambling for plants because so many gardeners out there, they're scrambling to keep up with demand. So get in, get early, and take a kid with you to a garden center or farmer's market. Show them how to do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all all around the state starting next week.